Here's Tom Ezern with this week's Plainsfolk essay.
A powerful new biography of Antoine Amédée Marie Vincent Banca Amat de la Vallombrosa, here generally known as the Marquis de Morés, has consequence on both sides of the Atlantic, in France and in Dakota Territory. Its author is Sergio Lozado, an Italian historian with a named professorship at the University of Connecticut. Its title is The First Fascist, The Sensational Life and Dark Legacy of the Marquis de Morés, publisher Harvard University Press. In the prologue, Lozado invokes a youthful Hannah Arendt, pondering in 1941 the origins of fascism, suspecting there was something significant about the infamous Dreyfus Affair, which drove a Jewish officer out of the French army in the 1890s. She sought the point of origin of fascism, not in Italy or in Germany, but in France. Lozado returns to this question with receipts. The Marquis, we'll just call him that for now, recognizing his title as an expatriate Sardinian brought up in France, going forth from his boyhood in Cannes, had a dissolute youth, Jesuit military schooling ornamented with profligate spending, casinos, and bordellos. Importantly, Lozado chronicles the Marquis's early habits of violent anti-Semitism, leading student mobs in physical violence against Jewish businessmen. Morés was handsome and a good talker, and somehow won the hand of the American banking heiress, Medora von Hoffman, which marriage financed the next stage of his life in the Badlands of Dakota Territory. There, Morés, in the 1880s, sought not just to engage in the livestock business, but to enact a fantastic scheme to defy the major packers, slaughter beef at multiple Western sites, and make a fortune, while establishing a sort of feudal lordship over the community of Medora. His only success was beating a murder rap for the killing of the buffalo hunter, Riley Lefsey. Theodore Roosevelt famously came away from the Badlands with impulses that animated his progressive public life. Morés, Lozado tells us, came away with the conviction that disorder would produce a new order and that the most fundamental law was the survival of the fittest. Morés acted upon such convictions on return to France, following another feckless venture in French Indochina, the failure of which he blamed on others. Still operating on his father-in-law's cash, he emerged in the 1890s, alongside Edward Drummond, as the leading agitator of pseudo-populist anti-Semitism. The Marquis de Morés, says Lozado, wanted to make himself the most recognizable and foul-mouthed interpreter of this rising resentment. In an amazing stroke of irony, he organized the butchers of Paris into street mobs to terrorize his enemies and shout, "Death to the Jews." He also organized reserve army officers to bait Jewish military men into duels and kill them, which he himself did, killing Armand Meyer, who was handicapped by an injury to his sword arm, on the 23rd of June, 1892, and once again beating a homicide rap. The friends of Riley Lefsey would like a word, please. Dr. Arendt, perhaps you'd like to join the discussion. Eventually, Morés ran out his stock and his cash and embarked on another half-baked enterprise, seeking to draw desert peoples of North Africa into an anti-Jewish and anti-British Franco-Arab alliance. Somebody, probably his Tuareg guides, killed him in the Sahara. And somehow, after all this, he was remembered as a visionary and an adventurer rather than a failure and a fascist. We have a problem. North Dakota is more than complicit, has been a willing partner in this failure of historical acuity. We need to think about this.
Tom Ezern is a distinguished professor of history at NDSU. You can find his Plainsfolk essays and all of our podcasts at prairiepublic.org.